Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Good morning and welcome to it. Dan in for Ken, and Walter Assey of Renovco is in studio with me, and I will bet your phone has been ringing off the hook the past couple of days.
It has. It has indeed. I mean, we thought a few weeks ago that the ice storm was bad.
Yeah.
It pales in comparison. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a true natural disaster. I mean, we got 85 millimeters of rain, which is the equivalent of the whole month of July, only in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to kind of, you know, if you take a fireman hose and you put it in a bathtub and you put it on for a good half an hour, this is what happened to the infrastructure in the city.
Yes.
The sewers were not able to take it. It was just the sheer volume of water was enormous. And was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
We had wind, we had rain, we had outages right before, none related to the storm, believe it or not. So you couldn't have had it, you couldn't have had it any worse in many ways. So the calls started, I would say, almost immediately after the storm, like during the storm, I would even say, and it just didn't stop. So, I mean, the guys have been literally working around the truck, the clock. We have about almost 90 people working almost 20-hour days. Mm-hmm. And I really tip my hat for them because they're doing it with pleasure to help, to assist. We are prioritizing, obviously, you have to do some type of triage in cases like this.
So yes,
of course. Prioritize the elderly. You have to prioritize people with babies, autoimmune disorders, and so on and so forth, medical clinics, daycares, thing that really businesses that could, you know, have a big impact on the community. Yeah. And that's what we've been doing. And hopefully we're all going to come through with this like we did last time.
Well, that's, I mean, it has to. And it's interesting the way you say that you know, you prioritize and triage like an emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you say, you know, you're not just dealing with the water and the flooding, but the aftermath, the drying it out, then the mold and the mildew that develops.
Well, the main issue is that most of these damages are sewer backups.
Yeah.
And that's water that's category 3, which means it's already contaminated water. It's not the mold is only the beginning of the story. This comes with E. coli, bacteria, endovirus, you name it. So it's not really anything to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And that what makes it more complicated. You know, in areas where you would have clean water or category 1 water, it could wait a bit longer. Things could be a bit less strict, if you wish, in the decontamination process. In this case, every case is urgent. So that's what makes it a bit more complicated this time around.
How do you deal with the volume of the calls that come in?
I mean, we unfortunately, we're used to this, and I don't say it in a good way.
Yeah, I understand.
We have what you call, we institute a cat mode, and the cat mode means we'll have a lot more operators on the phone that are extremely well trained to know how to dispatch and what have you. And we have simply a war room, and everybody gets called in. There's no more on call, so everybody becomes an active member. I myself go on the road as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't expect my guys to work 24/7, and I'm not there. So I've been to many emergencies since happened. So it becomes really all hands on deck. We don't really, and then, you know, by day 2, which is 48 hours later, we start giving people more shift work, just because we don't want to burn them, you know.
Yes, of course.
They can only work for so long. So the first couple of days, it's all hands on deck, and then it goes back to shift work. But, I mean, usually the shifts are now 12 to 14 hours.
Yeah.
So the shifts get much longer in this case.
Whew. Yeah. Well, it's good that you know you're there when the community needs you.
Well, you know what? I just want to say one thing, because we keep on, unfortunately, talking about this and the trends. Like, as you probably would know, I've been doing this for over 25 years. So I've seen the weather patterns. I mean, regardless of if you're a believer in global warming or you're not, what's happening and so on and so forth. And I can tell you the weather, it doesn't take an expert in climate to tell you the weather patterns are changing. a few weeks ago we were talking about this. We're saying like we're seeing things that we haven't, we didn't see them 20 years ago. We really never saw these types of tropical storms and that amount of rain. And you know, in a year now we do have 4 or 5 major occurrences. If you look at every given year, it's, you know, so there is a repeat pattern there, and that's why we have to start really planning and not saying, okay, it happens once every 25 years. I don't, you know, we pass through it. Just let's take example about the power outages.
Yes.
You know, last ice storm, some people were saying, you know what, it happened 25 years ago. It's not going to happen again. Well, you know what? We lost power for a couple of days in some areas.
Yeah.
So it did happen, not even a few weeks later.
That's
so
that, right.
You know, so this is where we kind of our mindset have to be focused on that now.
Yeah, and as you pointed out off the top, in the beginning, a lot of the power outages were because of the forest fires, and then out of nowhere we had this—not out of nowhere, but the storm knocked so many people's electricity out. You know, we talked about, some people called in saying because of the electricity, their sump pump stopped working, and that becomes an issue. But then you start hearing about people who cut down on their electricity costs with solar panels. And that brings us to our first caller, who's Linda from Rotten. You have a question about solar panels, don't you, Linda?
Yes. This week there was a segment on CTV about the solar panels.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how Walter felt about solar panels in the winter.
Good question.
That's a great question. You know, it does work, to a certain extent. Obviously, we don't have the same weather as Florida. Like if you were living in Florida, it's a no-brainer, or even Mexico. But it does work. Now, one of the things that I'm really like looking forward to get my hands on is the Tesla panels, which are the roof panels of Tesla.
Right.
These are made to be life warranted, so it's a roof good for life.
Mm-hmm.
And every shingle is a solar panel on the roof.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So you know, so the amount, and then it's all linked to Tesla batteries in the home, so they store energy.
Yeah.
And so far from everything that we've looked at, cosmetically it's the most pleasing, because it's not those panels that you have to install on your roof and kind of ruin your curb appeal. And when there's a sunny day, well, you know, the whole roof acts as, you know, solar panels, and that's just amazing. Only problem with it is that they have back orders, I think, for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a problem of supply. And that's what I would, you know, personally endorse or try. You know, I would even try it on my own home.
Yeah,
because the idea is fantastic. You know, just but I mean, definitely, Linda, it's the technology is improving. As a matter of fact, it improved a lot, and the people that had it actually swears by it. It's still fairly expensive to install, but it does work.
Well, the gentleman that was talking about it, he said it cost him $8,000.
Yeah. That's
and $4,000 for the heat pump,
mm-hmm.
$4,000 for each panel. There were 4 panels. They were installed on his roof.
That's correct. Now, the main thing that I would do, Linda, before we install them, I just would ensure that my roof is extremely in good shape and it's good for many years to come, so I don't have to repay the removal and the reinstallation of the panels every time. So that's where, you know, I would kind of, you know, if your roof is like, I don't know, 70% or 30%
wear,
right. Then, you know, I would also calculate that in my plan. The best thing to do is to coordinate to do both at the same time, by which you have a brand new roof, 50-year shingle,
right.
And then you do the panels, and that way you know that your investment is going to pay for the long term. Because investments like this are great, but they take a few years to pay back, right?
Okay, so, well, what I was wondering, though, is in a heavy snow, does that just melt?
That's the issue. It's the good news is even our winters we have sun. There are days where they're not gonna work, very cloudy days, overcast days, and what have you. But the day that you have sun, it stores the energy for those days. So you're not going to have necessarily 365 days worth of those panels working, but that stored energy would help in those days and what have you. So people that you speak to, maybe they will, they are maybe 70% solar, 30% reliant on the grid. And other people, it's a bit higher depending on also where you are, how many trees you have around the property. There's a lot like more to look at rather than, you know, just the panels themselves.
But does the snow accumulate on these panels?
It tends to slide. But I mean, obviously, if you have 20, 30 centimeters of snow, it's like anything else. It will be there for a while until it melts off the second day or the third day.
But I mean, it's something you can't remove the snow.
You can, of course. It's just a question of the maintenance of it. It's like you removing the snow off your roof.
Right.
The panels are made to be a bit more slippery, so that they're made in a way that the snow does not stick to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but I mean, obviously, in blizzard days, some of it will stick, like metal roofs. But
like
not,
anything you do, you have to take into account our climate.
That's
here.
Correct.
Got to run, Linda. Thanks so much for the call. 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. 1-800-491-CJD on the Home Improvement Show. On CJAD 800, stream the latest news, traffic, and weather from wherever you are with the iHeartRadio app. Let CJD tag along and keep you company with breaking news, compelling conversation, hundreds of other local, national, and international radio stations, always free on the iHeartRadio app. Download it today.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Well, I'm going to press the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit so we can get Randy on the air from Havelock. Hi there, Randy.
Hi there, Dan. Hi there, Walter. Listen, I have a townhouse in Broussard that I rent out. In the last big water thing in September, there was a flood in the basement, so we had the demolition come in. We had the decontamination come in, and we also had a reputable company come in to fill cracks in the walls where it was coming in. And now, day before yesterday, there's water coming in along the seams where the wall and the floor meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, is it a simple fix, like a seal around the cracks all around the bottom of the basement? The basement is actually down to the cement walls and the floor. So the first time it was a disaster because it was a couple of feet of water. But now there's still some water coming in, apparently our neighbor, because it's a townhouse that's attached. So apparently our neighbor had it too.
Okay. So what do you have a sump pump in your basement?
No, I don't.
Okay. What you want to do in a case like this, what it might be is a blocked French drain. So, or non-functional French drain. Now, there's a couple of things that you could do. Hopefully you do have a chimney stack for inspection of French drain, and you could pass a camera through it and to see if, you know, if there's any blockage. Because that's indicative of that. When you have the water coming in from the bottom of the foundation through the seam, that means where the water accumulates around the French drain, you're having an overflow there, and somehow it's finding its way in. Okay.
Yeah, because we put the what do you call them, the backwater valves in and everything. So we've had a couple of companies come in and fix it all. I didn't want to repair the basement until we actually were sure it was done. And now the next rain, we got more.
So, Randy, your backwater valves will not help in this case at all. They're not even related to the same thing. The backwater valve will help you in the case of a sewer backup. When the sewers from the city get overloaded, like we've seen last week or this week, I should say, that would help. But in a case where you have a blocked French drain or a non-functional French, that won't work. What you could do, though, if you don't want to go through the whole cost of the French drain and what have you, you could go and inspect your landscaping around the house. So there's a few things that you could do that could decrease the amount of accumulation of water around your foundation by about 90%. And they're simple. Simple grading of your lot. So you grade it about 5 feet away from your foundation. 6 would be optimal. That would be number one. Number two, you ensure that you don't have any downspouts around the foundation. So you do gutter extensions. that will decrease the amount of water tremendously around your foundation, specifically if you have a working, well-functioning gutter system as well. If not, and it's prohibitive for XYZ reason, you can't grade the land, so on and so forth, then in this case, you would need to address and inspect your French drain somehow. Now, if there's no chimney and you absolutely want to do it... Yeah, can you hear me?
Did we lose you, Randy?
I think I lost you guys.
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay.
Okay. So if you absolutely would need... I don't know how much you kind of missed from the word of wisdom that I was just mentioning. But if you absolutely need to have an inspection done and you don't have an inspection chimney for your French drain... then you could have one installed. They would have to dig down and they would install it. It's very practical. And then you just simply pass a camera and see what's the story. What year construction is your home, by the way?
In the 70s.
70s, okay. So 70s is somehow of a good news because it's not the terracotta tiles that we're used to in the 50s. Because these tend to kind of collapse with time and then you have to replace them. There's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So you have a very good chance of having, if it's just a blockage, it could be hopefully unblocked.
Okay, so Walter, just like the townhouse that I have, it's three floors. Mm-hmm. And the basement, there's from the outside, there's stairs going down into the basement where there's a door there. And it seems like some of the water is coming in there as well. I mean, is that water that's coming in now not sewage water, it's just the rainwater?
Okay. It's what we call a groundwater. Groundwater is category 2 water, so it's lightly contaminated water. It's not clean water, it's not category 3, it's not sewage. So that's better than having sewage water, but it is groundwater. Now, that's a new piece of information about the stairs going down. That's something that also could be a major culprit in what you just mentioned, because very often those drains are blocked or they're not large enough to take in, especially the amount of water we have. So you could have potentially had water coming from there. And, you know, these types of drains have to be inspected yearly. They have to be cleaned at least 2-3 times a year. And you just need to ensure that they are large enough for the area. Okay. And if they're not, there are ways of kind of decreasing the amount of rain or water. A lot of times you could put some type of a shelter above it just to kind of decrease the quantities of water.
Yeah, the gallery to go in the house upstairs is kind of over that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So that helps tremendously.
Okay.
There you go.
That helps tremendously.
All right, Randy. Oh,
I guess the first thing to do then is just to get that all inspected, right?
Get that all inspected for sure. I mean, you know, French drains have to be inspected every, you know, I would say at least once every 10 years, especially that your home is dating back to the 70s. And again, what I would inspect first, Randy, is also the condition of your landscaping. Because more often than not, like we've seen cases where you have a perfectly functioning French drain, but the homeowner have the downspout with no extensions, and you take 85 millimeters of rain, like we had a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's no French drain on the planet is gonna take that and not overflow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, appreciate the show, Walter. Thanks for the advice.
My pleasure, Randy.
Have a good one, Randy. Thanks for the call. It is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD. Rick's got a question about air conditioning. We'll talk with him on the other side of the 9:30 news.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And we are back with me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco taking your calls. DIY, home improvement, etc., etc. In St. Anne de Bellevue, we talked to Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Air conditioning problem in the central air run by natural gas.
Okay.
Leaking water in the house, and the heat is diminished, put it that way. I had people look at it, and they're talking heat pump, changing the coils, various things. I'm wondering my best avenue of fixing this.
Have they detected any leaks?
Well, no.
Have they tested
they
for...
There's a tray under the coils that's rusted, and it's 19 years old, so it's pretty old.
Okay.
I wouldn't be adverse to changing it, but I didn't. What's my best avenue?
Want
to go electric, a heat pump, and...
Okay. You are talking about a heat pump now, aren't you?
Well, no.
I'm confused. What is it? What is your call about?
The air conditioning is not working properly.
Okay. But is your air conditioning a split unit, or it's an actual heat pump unit that is outside?
No, it's a separate unit.
Okay, so it's a heat pump. So the energy source does not really make a difference for you.
Okay.
Okay, meaning it's not if you go electric or you go with natural gas, you could still have a heat pump and make it run as the same source of energy that's running right now. It's not really the issue. The issue is that you have a 19-year-old unit, which is going to be an issue to get freon gas for eventually. So if you miss gas, you're going to have issues because that's now outlawed for environmental reasons, right?
Right.
So the maintenance becomes cost prohibitive or even impossible at one point. That's what you have to ask yourself a question. Now, if the coils, usually when you have heat diminished, you're missing, you have a leak somewhere, they test for leaks. Now, if you're lucky, they find a leak, you don't have enough gas that you lost, you fill up the gas and you're good. But in this case, if they're saying they're replacing the coils, that's not going to be cheap. Did they give you any estimation?
No, not yet. No, I'm waiting for that. They're going to call.
Yeah. Keep in mind that there are subventions now. So the newer heat pumps will save you energy. They are way more efficient. They're quieter. They're stronger. They can work up to minus 30. There's a lot of good advantages for them. And again, there is a subvention. So 19-year-old unit heat pump, that means the unit is getting tired. The compressor is usually... will give way as well. So you're gonna start just throwing money on a machine that is not really gonna give you much back, and especially if you need to fill it up with freon, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have real issues with that. So it might be a better idea for you to look into installing a new system,
more cost effective,
new heat pump. Yeah.
Well, okay. That I'm not adverse to that. I just wanted to know if that was proper.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, look, just the fact that the new heat pump is going to work to minus 30, that by itself is a huge plus for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be paying the lower rate, especially that you're on dual energy. You're going to be paying the dual rate almost all winter. Lower rate, I should say, almost all winter, which is awesome.
Good.
All right.
One other quick thing. I called you a couple of weeks ago, and you told me to call back about odors coming from the sink in the upstairs bathroom and the downstairs kitchen sink and the baking soda and the vinegar. It worked, but it didn't fix it. Like, it worked for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and it came back.
So what you're going to do now, you're going to do a smoke test.
A smoke test?
Yeah, not you, not yourself. Okay, not yourself, but your plumbers. They would need to do a smoke test, and the reason we want to do this is because we want to detect any cracks in the plumbing under the slab. That could be the culprit there. If that doesn't work, usually there's another underlying cause, by doing so, they can detect exactly where it's coming from, and then pinpoint the problem and then fix it, hopefully.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Rick. Good to talk with you.
All right.
That's Saint Laurent. Here's Mireille. You have a question about a generator.
Yes. Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So we purchased the generator yesterday. It's still in the box. We have not opened it up yet. It is a 3650/4550 generator capacity. Now, my question is, I was looking, of course, on YouTube. My question is, can I or should I have like a transfer switch? Instead of running lines, power lines through to like all the fridges I have or heaters, or like portable heaters, is it advisable or can I do it with this unit to have a transfer switch installed?
I'm not sure. The generator have to be compatible with it. Not all of them are. So what you want to check first, if it is. I'm not sure about the numbers you gave me, so I can't really help you with that.
But yeah, because it's saying it's like it's saying 3650/4550. It's an RV. So I'm just thinking that this is maybe it's a bit small and it would run an RV and not really like. I mean, I'm not expecting to run everything in the house.
Well, you want to just, the way it's going to work is like anything else. You just want to figure how many amps it could, you know, is it 100 amp, 50 amp, 20 amp, and that will give you all your answers. Obviously, if you buy a 20 amp generator, you can't run the fridge and, and stove and everything else on it. That's self-explanatory, right? If you have 100 amps, you can almost run the whole house with it. So, you know, it's just a question of, instead of reading the numbers, just see what the amperage is, and that could give you all your answers right there.
So if I wanted to plug in, like, let's say a fridge, how many amps would that take?
Well, I mean, it depends on the fridge. But, I mean, again, it's what you want to look is what is the dedicated breaker for the fridge is taking. Is it 15 amps, 20 amps, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So it's really, if you look at the breakers that you have on your panel, it will tell you each breaker how many amps is pulling, and that's where you're going to start dividing what you want to use for your generator.
Okay.
For example, you could run many, many plugs, as long as they're not on separate circuits, you can run many plugs. That's easy. It doesn't pull a lot of things. But if you want to put the furnace on or the heaters or anything that is 220 in general sucks a lot more juice than anything else. So
of course.
Mm-hmm. That's where you kind of have to do your calculations. But from the panels, from the breakers that are being used, you can decide what to put on it based on the amperage that you have.
Okay, because I wanted to make it as easy as possible, and that's why I was looking for this transfer switch that you just basically, but I think it costs quite a bit of money to do that.
I mean, you know, the compatible generators, the best way that I've seen is really to have a generator panel that is expensive, but mm-hmm. your generator is compatible, and what's amazing with it that I love the most is that it automatically kicks in as soon as you lose power. So if you're not home, and mm-hmm. there's a big like torrential rain that we had.
Yeah.
Well, automatically your sump pump is working. Even if you lose hydro, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to run home and put it on and manually and so on and so forth and what have you. That's where the generator will really work for you and work properly.
And which one is this one you're saying?
The Generac or Caller. They have very good systems.
Oh, okay, the Generac one. Okay.
Yeah, or Caller. Caller have also very good one.
Okay. How do you spell Caller?
Caller.
Okay.
Now Caller have a very nice new one that came out, so you want to maybe check that one out because they can be noisy if they're not if you don't buy them with a silencer.
Okay, and those are run on propane, right? If you don't have
they
gas?
Can run on propane, natural gas, or even just normal petrol.
Okay.
We got to run, Maria. I hope that helped.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. It is 9:45 on the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. We've got Elizabeth and Sophia on the way. But
this is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Earlier, we were having a conversation about solar panels, and Walter, you wanted to follow up on that.
Yeah, we're just reading up about the statistics and the return on investment. And in Quebec, because, I mean, I was just intrigued. In Quebec, we don't usually pay very high for hydro.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few perks we have in the province. And I'm just shocked to see that the return on investment for solar panels is only 0.5% annually, which is very low.
Yeah.
On an average, it takes about 30 years to get your money back, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And because it's reliant on how many panels that you put to draw the energy out of them, on an average, with what you see in general jobs, it's about 22% that will give you back in hydro, which is the equivalent of $600 almost a year, $576 a year. That is very low.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the reasons it's not as popular here versus other areas where hydro is way more expensive. So it is cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. That's number one. It does not give you a complete complete usage. And that's why we're, like we said before, we're looking forward to see what the Tesla roof is going to look like.
Okay. It's good to keep in mind. Let's go right back to the phones to Verdun. This is Elizabeth. Hi there.
Hi there, Walter. Interesting show. Always learn something. Very quickly, would you know of anything that we could use to silence our generator, especially 1 o'clock in the morning? You know the noise?
Yeah, you can turn it off.
No, he's just going to say that.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, is there some sort of a cover or something?
It's not really a cover because they're supposed to. You're not supposed to add any component that is not from the manufacturer. You don't want it to overheat or anything like that. I don't know if there's something you could add as a silencer, to be quite frank with you. What I would actually would recommend very strongly is that you call the manufacturer to ask them. I know they have models with built-in silencers, but I've never heard of one that being installed after the fact. It could be, I know you could do it on vehicles, but I've never... You know, looked into generators. It's a great question, though.
Yeah, this is a generator that we were able to get, and it's 25 years old. Can you imagine? In the first time we used it yesterday, because our sump pump overflowed, had not been used in 25 years, and it started.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing the brand with us?
Do you want to just hold it outside on the front deck?
It's okay.
Oh, God. The sump pump, I mean, we've got to do something. Fortunately, I was home, so I could...
Well, something works, it's worth mentioning the brand.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know,
okay. Just a second. I'm outside
I tip my hat for something
it's
I have not...
Called, it's called Ultra Coleman. It's a Coleman.
There you go.
The 2500 Ultra Coleman Power Mate.
Okay. That's
2500 and then... Whatever all those figures mean, that squeak to me.
Do me a favor, Elizabeth. Call the company and ask them if they have any gadget or a silencer they can install. And please let us know. I'll be very curious to see if...
Okay, because you can imagine, as I said, we have to run it every 3 hours.
Yeah.
I know. And you like your neighbors, I presume.
And your sleep. Elizabeth, thanks for the call.
We won't talk about that. Okay, thank you very much. Enjoy your program.
Thanks. Thank you. Out to Brossard. Sophia, hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you?
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to segue off of the call about the French drain problem. So I'm actually taking a look at helping my mother. She's very elderly, and we're looking to sell the house to have her move into a residence. But lo and behold, we actually found clearly some sort of water infiltration in the basement. The walls, unfortunately, are not, or perhaps fortunately, are not the, you know, standard drywall. It's kind of like those wood panelings, those fake wood panelings, but you can see some white stain, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So there's clearly something there. It's kind of in the corner of a bedroom. Now, as you can appreciate, with my mom, who's in her 80s, doesn't really have the ability to, you know, get into a long and drawn out repair. And wouldn't want to repair it in a way that perhaps a new owner might want to come and re-renovate anyway. But I guess the question was more, what would you recommend? And more importantly, what would be a good way to get an estimate of a range to understand what is a fair price for someone else to come in to discount off the selling price?
I mean, number one, you want to see what the problem is, where the water is coming from, because there's no sense in decontaminating for mold if the source is not fixed. Once you fix the source, then you could do the decontamination. And if it's on a concrete slab and there's no finishing, it should cost you a lot less than if you have to take out porous materials. So, right off the bat, if it's a foundation crack, it's not very expensive. If it is a bit more of a, you know, French drain issue, but it might be a bit more complicated. So we would, you know, it's better that we actually would come and or some expert would come and kind of evaluate on the premises just to kind of guide you in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I called a couple of the usual companies, and many companies said, well, we actually won't open things up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only come in and give you an estimate once it's open. So now I'd have to three companies, right?
Yeah, so the other way is you do a walk through from the outside. You kind of pinpoint where the area is, and you see if there's a telltale sign. Usually if it's a foundation crack, you see it goes should usually, not every time, it goes all the way up to the foundation. So meaning to the foundation wall, which is above ground. And that will kind of give you your answer right then and there. You don't need to necessarily start demolishing
stuff. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be anything visually like that.
Yeah. So in this case, unfortunately, you would have to remove a few panels for sure. Mm-hmm. Just to see where it's coming from. It's from the bottom, the top. And sometimes it's a question, it's not even a foundation crack. It's just a pinhole in the foundation that is leaking. So it could be something really small.
And are there French drain specialists?
I mean, there are. Yeah, there are. Usually foundation repair specialists are your French drain specialists.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a correlation there. You know, they fix the foundations, and at the same time, they replace the French drains.
Okay.
All right. I hope that helps, Sophia.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. Well, I guess the music is there to tell us that that's all the time we have. Walter, thank you so very much for all this.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Back at you. The Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. I'm back tomorrow in for Ken. Ken will be here for the trivia show, though. Don't you worry. And after the 10 o'clock news, Lisa Christensen with the car show. Thank you all very much for spending your morning with me. Have a terrific day.